It is also a pleasure to introduce our next presenter, Arti Desai, from the School of Medicine at Loma Linda University. Arti earned an MPH with a concentration in global health at Loma Linda University. She worked in Latin America and Asia on health promotion programs. Arti would like to continue using the community-based participatory approach in her work. Let's give her a warm welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Arti Desai, and I'm going to be presenting on gastroschisis, particularly how cesarean sections and delayed closure increase the risk of sepsis and length of stay in neonates with gastroschisis. To begin, I'd like to say that there are no financial disclosures to disclose. A little bit of background. Gastroschisis is a birth defect of the abdominal wall, which results in an infant's organs to protrude outside of its body. And in the picture, you can see that this is a baby with gastroschisis where the organs have protruded outside right of the umbilicus, and they're born like this. It is the most common congenital birth defect of the abdominal wall, and it's increased on both a global and local scale in the last few decades. As you can see from this table from the International Clearinghouse for Birth Defects Monitoring, we can see Finland, for example, has a prevalence of 0.771 out of 10,000 live births in the early 1970s, and has jumped to 1.41 to 10,000 live births in the mid to late 70s. Also, a similar trend can be seen in Canada with 1.85 out of 10,000 live births in the 1980s and jumping to 4.06 per 10,000 live births in the mid 1990s. And the chart shows similar trends in Iceland and Norway. In the United States, the gastroschisis increase in prevalence is no exception to this trend. The National Birth Defects Prevention Registry shows the prevalence of gastroschisis increasing from 3.73 in 10,000 live births to 4.49 in 10,000 live births within a span of about 5 years. This data can also be shown in similar in other states, such as North Carolina, where rates have doubled, and Georgia, where, again, rates have doubled within a five-year span. The graph at the bottom shows just overall in this over 10 years, the increased prevalence of gastroschisis. So pretty much it's a thing that's really important. It's increasing, and we're trying to figure out what's happening. So the purpose of the study was to optimize management of care for neonates with gastroschisis. And in order to do this, we first of all, the way to take care of a baby once delivered with gastroschisis is primary closure, where surgery is done right away, or delayed closure. So the next slide. On the left, figure number 3, shows primary closure, where as soon as an infant is born with gastroschisis, surgery will be done to put all those organs back inside the body. On the right-hand side, it's a silo approach, where organs are first put in a sterile plastic bag, then hanged over the baby's body and letting gravity push the organs back inside. Then a couple days later, surgery will take place. So now that we know what gastroschisis is, our study focuses on how mode of delivery and type of closure affect neonates' outcomes and sepsis rates. So the two institutions were used from Southern California, and we looked at 152 mothers in a span of 1999 to 2012. And we defined our mode of delivery as vaginal as 1, C-section and labor as 2, and 3, C-section without labor. And closure methods were described as primary closure and initial silo closure. The outcomes we looked at were culture-proven sepsis as a primary outcome, and the secondary outcome was length of stay. We were looking at sepsis rates by mode of delivery and type of closure, and log binomial risk ratios were used. We found that in our 152 patients, 51.8 delivered vaginally, 25.6 delivered C-section and labor, and 22.6% of that was just C-section alone. And also closure strategies, 44 of the 152 were primary closures, and 108 were silo closures. So we noted that sepsis incidence increased 2.5 times, so it was 2.5 times more likely in those who had C-section and labor versus vaginal delivery, and sepsis was also not higher in C-section alone than vaginal deliveries. There was also an increase of 83% in those with sepsis when a silo method was chosen over primary closure. And then in mothers who had chlamydia, the risk of sepsis doubled for infants. Here we have a linear regression. We did a linear regression analysis over time, and here's a little bit of our data for that. Talking about length of stay, the length of stay in neonates who delivered by C-section and labor were 15 days, and for C-section only 6 days shorter than those who delivered vaginally. And sepsis rates were also increased, the length of stay, by 50 days than those without sepsis. Additionally, there was an increase in 26 days with those infants who had silo closure than primary closure. We calculated relative risk to determine these values. A few conclusions that can be drawn from this study include that increased sepsis is more common in neonates who deliver with C-section labor, and increased sepsis and length of stay is also higher in silo closures than primary closures. Future implications and the importance of the study. It's important to understand that this is a growing trend across globally and nationally, and understanding how to better manage patients with gastroschisis can help in the Millennium Development Goals and improving maternal and child health. Also, it deepens our understanding in neonatal outcomes postpartum and also understanding what's going on a global geographical, temporal, and spatial mode. Finally, the study aids in information that can be used in developing neonatal and pediatric policies to support high-risk pregnancies and deliveries. Thank you.
Questions? And what kind of policies do you recommend? You
had this in I know, since given the theme of this conference, I think it's really important to understand what is happening with what's causing gastroschisis. So maybe more policies geared towards mothers prenatally would be something that I would recommend, because once surgery takes place, once the baby's born, there's surgery and all of these complications arise, you know, sepsis increases. But if there's something that can be done prenatally to prevent the defect in general, that might be a great way to start. Thank you.